Well, good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Big special shout out to my own mom. Thank you, Mom. You not only brought me into this world, but you gave me a hope and a vision and an integrity of character that has served me well all my life. And I thank you a lot. Amen. Amen. Even when I was doing wrong, the things that she taught were still doing well within me. And so I appreciate that. And I know that there was a time when you probably wondered, what in the world did I do to deserve this? But those things were my own choosing, not your upbringing, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Truth must be told. Glory. I do want to kind of include family in a little bit of what we're teaching today. There's so much that we can learn both about our Heavenly Father and about ourselves as well in this thing called family. So just wanted to bring some of that. I'm going to start with Romans 13 and 12. Since we were just talking about being known. And Romans 13 and 12 says this, that the night is almost gone and the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside or cast off the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. We're going to put on the armor of light. If you would, just flip with me over now to Ephesians 6. Because we want to put on the armor of light. And Ephesians 6 says this in verse 11. It says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to withstand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the powers and against the world forces of this darkness and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. There's one more part that I want to add here. Because see, notice that this passage starts with the word, backing up to verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in strength of His might. For 5.5 chapters, He's been talking to you about how to walk your Christian faith. How to walk in the Christian faith. For 5.5 or 6.5 chapters at that point, he says, these are the things that are part of walking out our Christian faith. And now he says, now finally, I want you to be able to put on the whole armor of God. See, what we often do, is, I don't know about you, but I can certainly talk for myself, is that when I got saved, now I began running around trying to do as much damage to the kingdom of the enemy as possible. And, you know, this is part of, I think it's a somewhat natural response a lot of times, but I would go out deliberately looking for ways to cause trouble for the enemy. Now, the only problem with that is that I had not yet done the other steps that he was showing me in Ephesians to bring and put my life in order. And so my going out and stirring up trouble for the enemy was really basically my going out and stirring up trouble for myself. I don't know if any of you can recognize that symptom, but there's certainly something that I did, and I've seen others do that. See, because there's a certain place that we've come to, and you know, a certain independence that was in my thinking, a rebellion mindset that was very much a part of who I still was when I started doing these things, and it really started with man way back in the garden. When man partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what he was doing was instead of choosing the covering of the Lord, he was choosing the covering of himself. He was choosing independence. And we talked about independence a couple of weeks ago, and I know, don't get scared. We talked about independence a couple of weeks ago, and we began to understand that an independence, when it comes to being an independence from God, is not something that is an actual freedom, but rather something that is putting us into bondage. And so we began to look at and understand that an independence from God is actually something that actually leads to destruction. Because, see, an independence from God is the thing that removes us from the instruction. It will take us from the place of instruction and lead us to the place of destruction. And probably the simplest way to illustrate that was a story that I gave when I was on a jet ski and I'm going across the lake and the Lord just says simply, don't do this. And I'm like, don't do what? Just keep it nailed. And I didn't even slow down to ask him for further instruction. I didn't slow down enough to ask. And had I stopped for a moment just to pause to reflect on what he was saying, the timing of everything else couldn't have happened. And instead, because I didn't follow the instruction, I was given to destruction. So that's what we've seen is an independence from the Lord. An independence from God opens us up to those things. Well, see, so the same thing is even within our family structure. Because God has ordained a family structure to be like His structure. To create a place and an area of safety around us. The whole place of and plan and purpose of having moms and dads in your life is to create a structure for you to grow up, both in safety and come into a maturity. Coming into an understanding of who you are. Because it's Mother's Day for those who are fathers. The best thing that you can do for your children is to love their mother. Because see, that's the one thing that speaks to them in a way that no one ever has to say anything. There are times where we can lead by the word, but the times that we lead by example are the things that set an order in their life. See, we often make these choices about our family, and particularly about our spouse, for so many reasons. We make a choice about our spouse, and oftentimes it's for reasons that were just basically areas of emotion. And yet this is the most important thing that we can do in our whole life. The most important choice because it will affect everything else about our life. When we make that choice of who our spouse will be, we're making a choice not only of our wife or our husband, but we're also making a choice for our children. And we're making a choice of how those things are going to look down the road, where God's life comes in to our family or not. Let's just back up and look a little bit at some of these things that help us to be a covering within our family structure. We'll just go to that famous verse, Ephesians 5 and 22. Let me see what I can stir up here. And it says this, it says, wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. Now see, many people want to use that as a beating stick. They want to use that as a whipping stick. That's not the intention of it because see, you can't take one verse and lift it out of its context. And if you look at the verse just above it, what does it say? It says, be subject one to another in the fear of the Lord. Be subject one to another in the fear of the Lord. So whatever it is that you're expecting from your spouse, you know, that's something that you should also be willing to give. What it's saying there is not saying, okay, be a doormat. It's not saying that. It's not saying be somebody's whipping stick. What it is saying is this. The word be subject, it's a Greek military term meaning to arrange a troop in a military fashion under the command of a leader. In non-military use, it was this, a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. So what we see is it doesn't mean it should be a doormat. It means it's a place of intercession. Carrying the burden. It's a place of intercession for your spouse. whether that's your husband or your wife, whether no matter whether you're the wife or the husband, because see, you're to love the husband and the husband's to love the wife as Christ loved the church. I don't know about you, but I have some more living up to do to get to that place. Okay? I think most of us, if we're honest about it, we haven't quite arrived at that place. But at least we can have left for the destination. Okay? There was a time in my life where I hadn't even left for the destination yet. So and now I know at least I have left. I may not have completed the journey, but I can be on the way. Why are these things so important? Because the quality of the covering that we can offer depends upon our own submission as a bride. The quality of the covering that we can offer as a husband depends on our own submission as a bride. In the same way, the quality of covering we can offer as a mother depends on our own submission as a bride, as a bride of Christ. When we learn and understand how we can give of ourselves, and realizing that giving of ourselves is not just intimacy, but giving of ourselves is our emotion. It's our whole being. It's an attitude and an expression within us. It's our heart and our emotions. It's our presence. Knowing how to put this right. If you will, hold your place right here. I'm going to go over to Psalm 45 and just read something that I explained on Wednesday night. Knowing how to get this right, knowing how to come into right order within this structure, within our thought process, will help us to follow through in all the rest of what we do. It'll help us to be able to set an order for our entire generation. Psalm 45 is about the Lord. It's a declaration, a messianic declaration of who Christ would be. But then in verse 9, he begins to actually speak to the bride of Christ. And see, in verse 9, he speaks to the bride of Christ, and this queen who's wearing the gold of Ophir, she is the bride of Christ. But verse 10 then speaks in this way. See, in verse 10 is basically his exhortation to the bride, to what the bride needs to do to be successful as a bride, and to call her husband to her, to become aware, this to be alluring to the husband. It says, "Listen, O daughter, and give attention, incline your ear. Give attention and incline your ear." Give attention, when you define that, when you break that out, it means to see outside of yourself. When we as the bride will begin to see outside of ourselves, when we're not so self-absorbed, now we can begin to put things in proper perspective. We see outside of ourselves. When we begin to see outside of ourselves, well, then we begin to be able to step out in a true agape love. As long as our heart is consumed with ourselves, then agape is not happening. And agape is the one thing, the selfless love is the one thing that can actually transform an atmosphere. I can come alongside you and be a friend all the time, all forever and ever, but never change your life. It might impact you to some degree, but an agape love can change your life. An agape love is looking for something besides self. An agape love is more invested in you than it is in himself. Let's face it, most of the time that what we're doing, when we get angry, what are we really getting angry about? We're getting angry because somebody stepped on self. When we're fearful, why we're fearful? Because somehow somebody's doing something that keeps us from protecting self. When we're defensive, the same thing. Somebody's bumped into us in a way that doesn't feel secure. We're protecting self. But see, when self is no longer on the throne, when self is no longer on the throne, then those things no longer need to be managed in the same way. That's what he's wanting us to do, is to be able to move into an agape. Because see, I can't truly begin to reach out and do something for somebody else. I can't truly begin to reach out and try to affect a generation until I'm not so concerned about me. Because there's always going to be a moment in your journey where you have to make a decision. Am I going to look out for number one, or am I going to look out for the one that I'm actually after? And part of that change and part of the identity changes comes when we can begin to look out for someone else. Now we can begin to see past just the things that happen to make me look good, feel good, be good. I can look and see for those things now that actually affect somebody else. And I can see their need is greater than my need. And when I see their need is greater than my need, then I'm actually challenged to make a difference in their life. It becomes possible to do what otherwise would be impossible. 1 Corinthians 13 says it's of all kinds of things that somebody does, including even giving their body to be burned. And yet he says without love, it counts as nothing. Because see, the intention of their heart was maybe still to try to prove something to somebody, which actually basically was just a form of self. We can give away everything that we own, but if we do it with the wrong thought and intention, then we have not actually gotten rid of self. See, our time, our thoughts, all those things require for us to move into to looking out after somebody else. As a parent, you always have to make choices. And you have to make choices. Am I going to be concerned about self, or am I going to be concerned about this child? And see, sometimes we make choices about self that we don't even understand. Because like when the child is screaming in the grocery store, because I want this, I want that. And you tell them, no, we're not going to do this. And you're not going to do this, you're not going to do this. And then you finally give in. What are you actually doing? You give in. Why? Because it makes yourself easier. Rather than doing what is ultimately the best, most loving thing, which for them was to stay with what you told them in the first place. It says, forget your people and your father's house. In other words, it's time for us to grow out of our culture, our old-fashioned culture, the culture that keeps us trapped in doing the things that we've always done. In other words, we can't go and hang out with the homies and figure out that that life is going to change. We got to come to a place of an understanding that only by changing my culture, when it says forget your friends, it's not saying just dump everybody, but it's saying move away from those things that have kept you trapped in the cycle that you're in. The things that have kept you trapped in doing the things that are not pleasing in the sight of your beloved. When you consider yourself as the bride of Christ and you recognize that He has already purchased you and betrothed Himself to you, then He is wholly able to call everything about you His. That means we have to let go of what we thought was ours. It means we have to grab a hold of and begin to walk outside and leave those old cultures behind. Leave those things behind that have kept us trapped. Sometimes that's friends, sometimes that's attitudes. You know, an attitude can be a bigger friend than an actual physical person sometimes. I've carried a few attitudes in my life. I don't know if I want to go into all that. But they were pretty friendly with me, I can tell you that. It's needful for us to recognize that it's time to, what does it say in Ephesians? We can flip back over to Ephesians if you want. To leave and to cleave. Verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It's really hard to be married until you learn how to leave and cleave. Because you can't be still married to your mom. You can't still be married to your dad or other dynamic that might be going on in your thought process. You have to be able to come to a place of separation between them and come to a place where you actually grab a hold of this current passion with all that you have. Now, we can see that in the family marriage, but we can also see that in our relationship with the Father, our relationship with Jesus. Because, see, when we begin to leave and cleave there, now we can understand that it makes it very simple to see the dynamic of leaving those things behind so that we can cleave to this which we've been betrothed to. Hallelujah. The recognizing also in that our value is no longer being set by that which we were born to. Our value is no longer being set by just our mom or our dad's appreciation or their evaluation of you. For some people, that's a tremendous freedom to recognize that they don't have to stay under that anymore. That your understanding and your approval of yourself is no longer dependent upon what they think. When many of us said those vows, we said something like, for richer, for poor, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health. What we're actually saying there is, I'm making a pledge to leave my selfishness behind and think of you first. Most of us never even thought about what those words mean, but that's what the words mean. It means that regardless of my comfort and my value, I'm choosing to value more. I'm choosing to value you above all these other things. And when we see that to be about our spouse, then we can see something that's wonderful. Because see, now we're putting a right order into our relationship. See, most of us got married. I can say that I certainly got married basically for my own what felt good for me. It's not that I didn't care, but the fact was, if I had to really be honest about it, that decision was about me and not so much about her. Yet, time after time after time, when I meet with people for marriage counseling, that's the same thing that has happened. I have yet to meet anybody whose actual real intention of their heart was to be about the other person. And what the premarital counseling is about is so that you can begin to see that and begin to adopt the right attitude. Because if you'll start off in the right attitude, then the rest of it becomes self-explanatory. The rest of it becomes apparent. Because now then, all the things that would otherwise just result in selfishness can actually be something that can become a benefit to the other person. Hallelujah. I know, this is like heavy for us. But I believe that when we understand those things, when we address those things, that God can bring in so much life. This week I've had the opportunity with Kim because of her operation to just learn and see how many things. When you're serving the other person completely and totally, it's different. When every little need you're trying to attend to, it's different. And it's an awesome thing. And the good news is she's doing absolutely wonderful. So yay. Yay. Hallelujah. But see, part of this is learning how to walk in the Christian walk. In order to be a covering, in order to be a covering as a family, learning how to walk with the Christian walk. Let's just go back to Ephesians 4, verse 25. Verse 22. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. In righteousness and holiness of the truth. See, putting on our new self, that's the thing that we begin to understand as we move into this faith with God, as we move into this life and this walking into a brand new way of doing things, we can begin to see from a standpoint of righteousness and holiness. Not because those things were endemic to who we were, but they are part of who we are to become. Not because we have done anything in our own to create it, but because He has already done it. See, the wonderful thing about God's grace is that our salvation is not in our own hands. When we come to accept salvation, what we do is actually we place it into His hands. In that moment, we recognize that I am actually insufficient in this to make this step. And so therefore, Lord Jesus, I choose to give it to You. And when we begin to live our life in such a way that no matter what it is, we choose to give it over to Him. Now we come into a place of walking with Him. Of walking in hand with Him, walking in the light as He walks in the light. When we walk in the light as He walks in the light, then there's a fellowship that we have together. And as we fellowship together, then the blood of Jesus, it says in 1 John 1:7, it says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. It's not just a one-time event, but it's an event that is ongoing. Continuously present tense. That means it's present tense right now. That means it's present tense right now. It means it's still present tense even right now. And it's present tense right now because I'm walking in fellowship with Him and the blood of Jesus is continually cleansing me in every moment that I allow Him to come into my heart. Every moment that I allow Him to behold all that there is, He is washing and cleansing it with the blood. The wonder of the beauty of that is that the bridegroom Himself is inviting you in and providing you the means to come. He's providing you the means to come. He's looking at you as the bride and drawing you to Himself. As He draws you to Himself, then everything that would be within you that would try to keep you out then becomes apparent for what it is, a lie. When we look and we feel unworthy to come, then He's already shown you this is a lie. When He brings you to Himself and He's drawing you to Himself, and this whatever it is, this thought that says, I don't deserve to be there, then that is being exposed for what it is. Nothing more than a lie. See, when we're transparent before God, now we can also surrender all the false guilt of all the things that we thought we had to do to come to Him. False guilt keeps us a lot of times from obtaining that which God has already set before us. Verse 25 says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. There is such a way that you can be angry and still be in the righteousness of God. But there's also so much of the anger that we have is just simply an emotion that we're looking to dump on somebody. That's not ever going to cut it. But the thing is for us to recognize that no matter what we might have done, it is to recognize that we have the opportunity to come and break that cycle by acknowledging what has been done and begin to let Jesus have that moment. And to not be long. Don't tarry about it. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. That's not some legalistic, oh, well, okay, it's already dark. I can't do it anymore. God's not looking to set up a legalistic system. He's got you out of the legalistic system. What He's saying is don't be long about coming back and asking forgiveness. Let's skip down to verse 30. All of that stuff is good there, but in verse 30 it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. See, this is probably the number one way to be a covering for your family. Because see, if you'll respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit, if you'll respond to the promptings and the inner workings of the Holy Spirit in your life, then you will automatically be a covering for everybody around you. Because you're going to operate in the righteousness of God. That's His purpose. He comes to convict you of sin and righteousness and justice. So He comes to convict you of the sin or of the issues that you would commit against that would harm someone else or yourself. But He also comes to convince you and show you of the righteousness of God that's been given to you and that is in you and working inside of you. And when you begin to see that and you begin to walk in accordance and agreement with that, then that gives you the access that you need to come into the Father. And if you have that access, as you come into this place with Him, you can know and understand He is there for you, working on your behalf. And the judgment. As He comes into that place, He's convicting and showing you how the enemy has already been judged. The enemy has already been judged on your behalf. And so therefore, you already have the victory over those things. You already have the victory over those things because He's already done it for you. So you don't have to worry about the effects in your life. When we choose to follow after the voice of the Holy Spirit, we're following after that which puts right order in our life. In verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath, anger and slander be put away from you along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Forgiving one another just as God in Christ has forgiven them. 1 Peter 4:8 says this. 1 Peter 4:8 says that love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. Because love looks to an eternal perspective. Love looks to an eternal perspective. See, love creates an internal reality. This is something that Bill Johnson said, but an internal reality becomes an external reality, which becomes an eternal reality. When we look, love creates an internal reality within us. And so when love is covering a multitude of sins, it is placing us in a place where we can begin to operate out of an eternal reality instead of just our emotions of the moment. That's the thing that we want to recognize, and that's the thing that we want to capture, because see, sometimes we can get into a difficult situation, and as a mother or a father, you can certainly know those situations because they can push you hard enough to do something that you've out of love for someone else that you would never do for yourself. Sometimes those situations can push you hard enough to recognize that the love of God is something greater than everything else that you have imagined within yourself. It'll push you past the boundaries to find that place of unconditional love. A maturity in this love will change your perspective. A maturity in this love will change your perspective. You know, as a parent, it's very easy for the enemy sometimes to use family against you. But at the same time, those things can also become the very things that bring you into a maturity of love. They cause you to dig deeper within yourself to recognize what is necessary to affect someone else's life. I know that with my sons and they're watching the process of them growing up, that those things changed me in ways that I couldn't have been touched by anyone else because I would choose to give love. I didn't always choose to give love joyfully, but I would choose to give love. I can remember a day, and I've told this before, but for those who haven't heard it, where I was pulling some weeds and I was just mad and I was just, I'm pulling weeds and I'm just, they're chunking and I'm going everywhere. And I'm really thinking about how I could insert little things underneath the fingernails and pry them off one at a time because I'm so upset. And not my fingernails, his fingernails. You know, insert little wedges under there and just push them in just a little bit at a time just to extract the most pain. And the Lord just says this. He says, is that the way I treat you? All the thoughts of things going underneath the fingernails went out the window. I'm just being honest, okay? Basically, when people are hurting, they want to hurt too, okay? And so what was happening here was that God was doing a change in my heart because he was looking for me to see how he interacted with me and then for me to utilize that as a pattern to interact with them. And in that process, it created something in me that I never could have understood. And I began to understand more and more about the depth of an unconditional love. Because see, until something pushes you there, you don't know what you're capable of loving. Until something pushes you there, you're not understanding what you're capable of doing. But see, God is capable of showing you, and he's well intent on showing you just who you can be in him. And he'll use everything. Romans 8:28 says, God makes all things work together for our good. And that's what he's talking about. Because, see, in all the things that we experience, they can either be something that draws us apart from God or draws us near to God. But if your heart is after God, it will always draw you nearer to him. When your heart is after him, because see, it doesn't say that, if you look, the next verse says, for those whose heart is after him. When our heart is after him, every circumstance, every situation in our life is going to wind up drawing us nearer to him, because that's the nature of this freedom that we have in Christ. It's the nature of the intensity of his love towards us. Because when we can begin to see and understand the fullness of his love, and we do so as a reflection of how we interact with others that are around us. It's well and good to talk about an agape love, a selflessness. But if all we do is talk about it, it doesn't change us. Change comes by when we walk it out. Change comes when we begin to actually look at those around us and begin to have a greater desire for their life than even for our own. That's the nature of a mother. That's the nature of the nurturing mother and the nurturing dad. When we begin to see someone else's life as being more precious, that's the nature that we're supposed to have in this family relationship and in the dynamics of the husband and the wife and the dynamics of the bridegroom and the bride. When we look to someone else and begin to recognize that whatever that need is, it's more important than I am. Now when I begin to see that, I can begin to operate out of something besides the selfishness that otherwise describes our behaviors. And now that need, whatever that need might be, becomes my need and my goal to supply, if I have within me to supply. If it doesn't, then it becomes a goal that we'll work towards together. When we have that kind of dynamic going on, we have a bride of Christ that is very much alive. Very much walking in the freedom of what she's been given, very much walking in the wholeness that is available to her. And as a result, others get to see what life really can be. It's necessary for us to step out in the fullness of agape. But that means we got to give of ourselves. As we give of ourselves, we can see something that's beyond the point of what we've always known. In the end, there's really only going to be one question that you're asked. Every one of us, someday we have to come and we have to face that question. And that question, when we get to the judgment seat, is this. Did you learn how to love? Rick Joyner said that in one of his books, but it's probably the most profound thing that we can actually attain to. We think it's so simple, but it's not. It's probably the most profound thing that we can attain. is to learn how to love. To be like Enrique, where we know he's a vessel of love. Where we learn how to love. Because if we've learned how to love, now we've truly done the thing that can actually change a generation. You've got to ask yourself this. How did Jesus take 12 men who were afraid? They were scared for their lives. They were so selfish. They were arguing the day before Jesus was hung. They were arguing about who was greatest. So full of pride. So full of their own self and their own arrogance. Yet he took those same 12 men and he changed the world. Because somewhere in the line, they learned how to love. That's the thing that lies before us. It's learning how to love. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just open our hearts today. We open our hearts, Lord, and ask you to show us how to love. To show us how to love, Lord, in the manner that you've loved. To show us how to love in a manner, Lord, that goes beyond our own selfishness, our own prides, Father, our own intuitions, Father. But, Lord, that we love wholly and completely. That we love outside of ourselves, Father, that we learn to be one with you. And, Lord, in this, Lord, that we learn to walk with you, Lord, and then draw near to you and be drawn by you, Jesus. You've actually come and become our high priest in this process. And because you are our high priest, Lord, we can have faith, Lord, that as we draw near to that throne of grace, seeking to know how to love, we can draw near to that throne of grace in total confidence, Lord. In total confidence because, Lord, you have already prepared the way that we can learn and to receive of you and to receive of this grace. And let us learn and receive of the grace to love as you've loved. That we can change the dynamics of our nation, the dynamics of our neighborhoods, the dynamics of our families. That we too can change, Father, and come into the place, Father, of being yielded fully and completely to you. Embracing our bridegroom, knowing, Lord, that in this, is our own salvation. And in this, Father, is the deliverance of a nation. We give you all praise. In Jesus' name, amen.